All right, good morning, everybody. Morning. I love the rain. It's so good. All right. Does anyone know is Craig going to be here? Okay, so some teens went back there. I don't think anybody's back there. I said teens went back there, but there's no one there. I think Solana's back there. Okay. All right, because I didn't think Craig was going to be here today. Yeah. I think Ben went back there. All right. Ruth chapter 4. Wow. Wow, y'all are so excited about this. Do what? They're asking, yeah. Are we done with Ruth yet? We're going to be done today, so then you never have to hear about Ruth again. So. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. Y'all should like this book. This is like one of the only Old Testament books that ends on a happy note. Everything else is kind of... All right. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. I'll read a few verses here. This is Ruth and Boaz get married and they have a child. Verse 13 says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. All right, that's great. That's great. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this young child, Obed, and the four ways Obed and a Christian are very much alike. And so, but let's pray, and then we'll talk about that. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words that you've given us. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for each soul that's here. I do pray that you'd help Craig heal up and I hope the removal of the gallbladder takes care of what it needs to take care of. And then for Randy and his upcoming procedures, I pray that you'd be with Randy and Maureen and Hannah and take care of them. And again, thank you for Betty and all she does on Sunday mornings and during the week up here, for her help, for all the teachers that are teaching. Thank you for their help and just all the help with Sam with the music and the cleaning with Megan and just all the folks that have a hand in what's going on up here, and Nick with the lawn. Appreciate it. And thank you for each soul again that's here. And I pray we get what we need from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, just a quick recap of the book. So the book is one of the few books that starts off bad and ends good. It ends on a happy note. It's an incredible history of redemption, faithfulness, grace. It's the product, really, of people living in a godly way. And the book, like I said, begins with death and funerals and ends with life. It's one of the few that does that. And it's interesting because all through the book, you're dealing with seasons and in agriculture, and the seasons in the agriculture seem to match the state of the soul of the people. And that's kind of an interesting layer. And then, so at the beginning, you've got the world. These Israelites move to Moab and they move out into the world, and that world brings death. And just like living outside of the will of God, they're looking for greener pastures, and probably Elimelech's motives are good. I mean, he wants to take care of his family and all that stuff. But it takes him outside the will of God. We've talked about that. And the world turns out to only hold seasonal pleasure. And that's the way the world is. It just holds seasonal pleasure. And in time, death is really the only companion in the world. That's just takes time to show that. And then the women in chapter 1 are all widowed. Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, they're all widowed. Naomi is what you would consider a lost Jew. She's outside the promised land, maybe not by her own doing, maybe she's just following her husband, but she's a lost Jew wandering around in the world and just, you know, no home in Israel and all that. Ruth and Orpah are essentially just dead in trespasses and sins. They're just heathen people. And when their husbands die, there's not really any hope or any of that. So the world in chapter 1 brings death. And Naomi hears some good news back in Israel. And so there's prospect of life back in Israel. So in chapter 2, the prospect of life and bread and food. Naomi moves back, and Ruth goes with her. And Ruth says, I'm going to help you. Wherever you live, I live. Wherever you die, I die. Where you go, I go. Your God's going to be my God. And so Ruth moves back to Israel with Naomi, and there she meets a man, Boaz. And Boaz is this gracious man who is a law-abiding man in Israel. He's a good man. Happens to be the son of Rahab, which is a neat thing there. But he's from Bethlehem. He's a mighty man. He's a wealthy man. He is, most importantly, he's a man who loves faithfulness, and really regardless of who it's found in, he loves faithfulness. And so this prospect of life in chapter 2, and then chapter 3, you've got the promise of life more abundantly. Now Boaz and Ruth they've met each other. Boaz has watched Ruth work and seen her virtuousness and her life and dedication to Naomi and love and choosing the God of Israel above the gods of Moab, and so coming to trust under the, like Boaz says, under the wings of the God of Israel. And so Boaz sees all this and is interested in Ruth and really takes an interest. And then Ruth lets Boaz know, under Naomi's instruction, that Boaz is actually a near kinsman to the family and has opportunity for the land. And so he finds this out, and he tells Ruth, yes, I will perform. I will do whatever needs to be done for your family, and I will take care of you, and I will take care of this redemption of the land. But going along with that purchase of the land, you have to marry Ruth. And so, but Boaz is willing to do it. So chapter 3 is like the promise of more abundant life in chapter 3. And like I said, Boaz, good man, willing to redeem a stranger and raise up new life and all that. And so chapter 4, which we started a couple weeks ago, Boaz provides full redemption for the family. He marries Ruth. He buys the land. After advertising and letting the a man who's nearer kinsman know the situation, and the man says, yeah, I'll buy the land, but then when he finds out he's got to marry Ruth too, he says, no, I'm not interested in that. And so Boaz, after assuring Ruth and Naomi that he will take care of everything, one way or another, he will take care of everything, he does it. And he buys the land, he marries Ruth, and so it's a great... It's incredible. You go from these funerals to this wedding and now children. And the child that's produced is named Obed. And there are four ways that Obed is, and four instructions really that come from Obed that make him like a Christian. And so I'll give you these four real quick here. But it says, Obed... Verse 13, which we read, so Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. When he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. Verse 17, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Awesome. The first thing I notice with Obed is Obed is a... He is a testimony to what God likes. All through this, God has been following, the Holy Spirit of God has been following this family. He's followed this stranger, Ruth, and followed her life. And because of her faithfulness, and it's something that God is particularly fond of, faithfulness. And then he follows this man, Boaz, who is a gracious man, which is an interesting thing because Boaz is following the law of Israel. Whenever Ruth is able to, if y'all remember this, when Ruth is able to glean in the fields of Boaz, the reason she's able to glean is because Boaz has been following the rules as far as the law God gave Israel. So within the law of Israel, there were instructions on how to live graciously, how to live graciously with strangers, how to live graciously with other people, how to live graciously among yourselves. And so Boaz is following that. When he harvests his field, he leaves the corners so that the strangers and the widows and the orphans can come eat. And so that's how Ruth meets Boaz, and Boaz is just, he's a gracious man. And these two lives that come together, you have a gracious man and you have a faithful woman. And these two lives brought together in marriage produce a life named Obed, and Obed stands as a testimony of what God likes. That's what he's looking for. He wants grace, he appreciates graciousness, he appreciates gracious people, and he appreciates faithfulness. And so when these two lives, Ruth and Boaz, come together and produce Obed, Obed is a testimony to what God desires. Boaz is the gracious man. You see that in chapter 2. Twice he's called the gracious man. You see that Ruth is the faithful lady, you see that in chapter 2 when Boaz says you've come to trust under the wings of the God of Israel. And so when these two folks come together to produce this child, and the child is a testimony to what God desires. Now, what does that mean for a Christian? Well, as a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you are a testimony and a product of what God likes. This is what God's trying to produce. He's trying to produce people who have the attributes that are like Him. He's trying to produce people that have the attributes that most represent Him. And so we talk about Christ-likeness and godliness and things like that. This is what God is trying to produce. People that are like Him, that enjoy the things that he enjoys, that participate in the things he participates in. And so just like Obed and a Christian, Obed stands as a testimony to what God wants. This is what God wants. Grace, faith. Faithfulness, graciousness, these two folks come together. Obed is a product of that. You know what a Christian is? A Christian is a testimony to what God wants. This is what God wants. I've heard it said that when all is said and done with, Jesus Christ has finally destroyed death and, death and hell and all that stuff come out of the earth and all that and death is finally destroyed. And the Bible says God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Now, how that all works, I don't know all the particulars of how it all works, but a new heaven and a new earth. And what you find out is of this present creation, the only thing that lasts out of this present creation are the people that God has produced. That's what lasts out of this creation, are the people that God has reconciled to himself and redeemed and purchased and saved. And when all is said and done and he makes a new heaven, new earth, what comes out of this time period is the people that God has produced. And so what you stand for as a Christian, you stand as a testimony of what God wants. This is what God wants. Second thing is this. Obed is the heir. He's going to be the heir to the land. And that was the issue. Now, when Naomi's husband died and when Ruth and Orpah's husbands died, all these men in the family were the heads of the family. These are the men that have the titles and the land and all that stuff. And so when they all die off, there's no real heir to the land. And so Obed stands as the heir to Naomi's inheritance and someone who will carry on the family name, really, with the inheritance. And that's the idea. There's not anyone to carry on this family name within the land. And so Obed is the heir. So what does he do? He's the new life. And this new life is not, Obed is not, here's the significance of this in some sense here. Obed is not, though his mother is a Moabite, Obed is not a Moabite. Obed is a soul that is one of God's people now. He is a part of God's promised land, and he's an heir to that. And so Obed's not a Moabite. He's not considered an outsider, even though his mother is. But his mother is actually not really considered an outsider because of her faithfulness. She's not considered an outsider anymore either. But Obed is an heir. He's the product of a stranger and a gracious man, and he becomes the heir of the and carries on the family name. He's reckoned with God's promises and God's inheritance. So this new life that's produced from Boaz and Ruth not only is a testimony to what God wants and God desires, but he's also the heir to God's promises. He's the heir to God's promises. And so just like a Christian, this baby that's born, he's the restoration to what Naomi lost. He's a restoration to what Naomi... Go ahead, Tony. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that one. So, she probably, maybe, if I had to guess, maybe like late 20s, 30s, something like that. I mean, she didn't have any kids with the first husband. Yeah. So, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Now she's probably not very old. She's young enough to work in the fields and collect food and all that stuff.
No, I'm saying Naomi, the mother-in-law, is young. Yeah. So by virtue of her being young, Ruth is probably young.
Yeah. Yeah, Ruth is probably like late 20s, early 30s. And so when she has this child, Obed is He is the restoration of what Naomi has lost. That's what he represents. And that's what he is. He is the restoration of what Naomi's lost outside of the will of God. And to Ruth, he is the new life in God's house that brings in, it's the grafting in of these outsiders into the promises of God. And so Obed, just like a Christian, Obed is he's the heir of the promises of God. I'll read you I'll tell you what, we'll just look at it. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. It's a good verse that tells you this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, just a little New Testament cross-reference to this about what Obed is and represents. Obed is the heir of the promises of God. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, he says in Jesus Christ that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So you've got strangers coming in and being partakers of God's promises. And Obed he's not recognized as a stranger. He is full participant in the promises of God, just like a Christian. Just like a Christian is.
In 17, he's presented as
right. Which brings up the next point. There you go. Brings up the next point. So Obed is, first of all, the person that embodies what God desires and wants out of people's lives. Second thing is, he is the heir of God's promises. Third thing is, like Beth just said, he is attributed to Naomi, which is kind of interesting. All the family, who else could he be attributed to? They live in Israel now. They don't live in Moab. It's not Ruth's land. It's Naomi's land. It's her family's land. And it's her family's people. And so Obed represents, and he is really, the restoration of what Naomi had lost. She's lost children. She's lost her husband. And losing all of those people in her life, she has no name to carry on with the property she has. And so now Obed is raised up. He's born into the family, and he is the restoration of what's lost. Verse 17, like Beth said, the women heard her neighbors, Ruth 4:17. The women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There's a son born to who? Naomi. Naomi." So Obed is the restoration of what was lost. Naomi now has a future, an opportunity, new life from what she had lost outside of the will of God. She'd lost her children. She had lost her husband. But now she'll be able to enjoy children. She'll be able to enjoy a future back in the promises of God, back in the land and all that. And so Obed is the restoration of what's lost. Let me show you a good New Testament cross-reference to this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I think y'all know this verse. But it tells you what a Christian is. I mean, a real Christian, someone who's trusted Jesus Christ. And this is the definition. This is someone who is now in the family of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Someone who is the restoration of what's been lost, represents the restoration of what's been lost, really. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's restoration. And that is what Obed is, and that's what a Christian is. You are, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you not only represent, but you are and you will be one day the participant in everything that was lost in sin will be now given back to the people of God. And so that's what Obed is. He's the restoration of what was lost. And then, I got a couple more verses. I'll show you these two. Look in Philippians chapter 3. I'll give you this one too. Just a couple of these cross references. This is the practical side of this. Practical side of this restoration. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What is that? I'm pressing toward the mark. I got a future. We're restoring. We are a part of the restoration of God here. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's good. One more verse. Revelation 21. I love this verse. That's another sermon. that is a whole nother sermon. Revelation 21:4. But that's a good question, Renee, because that's a significant point. Sorry. Sensitive. Renee's so sensitive. I love this. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know what that is? That's restoration. That's restoration. And the people of God enjoy that restoration and participate in that restoration. And so that's what Obed is in Ruth. He is the restoration of everything that was lost to Naomi. When she's outside the will of God, she loses all of these things, now moves back to the promised land. Ruth marries Boaz, has this child, and Obed is the restoration to Naomi. And it's seen in Ruth 4:17. And then this last thing here, back over in Ruth, Obed. This is so neat. Obed represents future royalty. He represents future royalty. You saw that at the end of verse 17. Obed is the father of Jesse, the father of David. That's incredible. So that would make Ruth what, the great-grandmother of David. I think that's right. Yeah, great-grandmother of David. So from... but you didn't know that one of David's great-great-grandmothers was a harlot, did you? That was Rahab. And Rahab had a son named Boaz. And Boaz had a son named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse had a son named David. And David, of course, becomes king in Israel. And so Obed here, you have this genealogy, and Obed is future royalty. He represents future royalty to this family. And I know you know several of the verses of, as a Christian, if you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ, and you want to serve Jesus Christ, the Bible says you'll rule and reign, and crowns be given, all those kinds of things. And so you represent, God is trying to produce in his people priests and kings, he says that in Revelation, he says it in Peter, priests and kings, a holy nation of people who will administrate his things the way he wants them done. And they're not bad things. It's not a bad administration. It's good. And so it's Obed represents future royalty, just like a Christian represents future royalty. That's the perfect typology there. Obed's son is going to be Jesse, and Jesse, one of his sons, is going to be the king of Israel. So four things about Obed and a Christian. Just to recap, Obed's a testimony to what God wants. He's a testimony to what God wants. Second thing is, Obed is the heir of God's promises, just like a Christian, heir of God's promises. Third thing is, Obed is the restoration of what was lost. That's what a Christian is. We are the restoration of what's been lost in sin. Obviously all that's through Jesus Christ, but we participate in this restoration. And then number four, Obed represents future royalty, just like a Christian, future royalty. And that's what God's trying to produce in his people. Let's see. I think it's 1 Peter. Let me see. Y'all can go to 1 Peter. I'll show you a verse. It may be 2 Peter. I'm kind of winging this one, so. Yeah. Let me see here. It may be 2nd. I'm not sure. It's the holy priesthood. First Peter. There it is. Yeah. Here's the future royalty. Thank you, Joe. That's it. Okay. 2:9 is a good one there. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. There you go. Royal. That's kingly. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That descriptor there, the royal priesthood. That's a king's nobility. All that, and that's what a Christian represents and will be, a future prince and all those things. And so that's what Obed is. He represents royalty in the family. So he is a great, great type in those four ways of a Christian. That's what a Christian is. And so I hope that's helpful, a little short lesson. I guess it's short. I don't know. But I hope that's helpful. That finishes off Ruth, and I'm debating whether to go down Renee's trail, but I don't think I will. That's what he said in that one verse. Yeah, he will reveal it unto you. And okay, that was easier than I thought. That last verse in Philippians that I read says that. That's what it says. That he corrects the thinking. So, all right. Well, amen. Obed and the Christian, there you go. And I hope that's been helpful going through Ruth. So those of you that wanted to get out of Ruth, we're out of Ruth now. We're done. So let's pray, and we'll wrap this one up. Father, thank you so much for these words, for this time together. Just some good devotional material here with Obed's life and what he stands for. All the rejoicing in chapter 4, not just for the new life, but what the new life is and means to the family. Thank you again for each soul that's here. For those that are out, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies with Craig's surgery. I pray that you heal up his body. For Randy's upcoming procedures, I pray that you would take care of him through all that. And really, he and Maureen and Hannah and give a doctor's wisdom on all that, and he could recover quickly. Thank you again for this opportunity to gather. Thank you for the rain. We really need it and appreciate it. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.